1 John 3:2.
Would you turn your Bible to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians? Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. This morning's title is Our Future Heavenly Body. Since many atheists love to put Christians on defensive, and they, with their shallow question, show me the evidence of God now. Have you ever heard that kind of thing?
No.
Because they think that, and they assume that, Christians cannot show the evidence. I would love to ask the same kind of question to the atheists. Show me that there is no life after death now. Right? They cannot produce because they've never been dead. If they are dead, they wouldn't be talking. So the atheists really don't want to talk about death because they cannot produce any kind of evidence or proof. And they don't know anything about it. But those who have faith in Jesus Christ have assurance. If you are not a born-again Christian, you may hope that you will go to heaven. Because I am a good person. I never committed a murder. But you do not have that assurance that comes from the Bible, the absolute truth. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus is telling us there is no plan B. He said, I am the way, not one of the ways. And we have that complete assurance when we are born again Christians. We have life after death. Through the Word of God, that is, has a, the Word of God, this Bible, has a track record with a total accuracy in archaeology way and historic and prophetic and a scientific way. And, you know, this Bible is not a scientific book. But when he talks about the scientific things, it is accurate. The oldest book, trivia, in the Bible, what is it? Job?
Yeah.
Not Genesis? The first book. Job. In Job, it talks about the water evaporating, going to heaven, to sky, and cloud, and it goes down to earth. I forgot the fancy name for the hydro or something. Isn't it? Anyway, it talks about that way before any scientist realized that's what's happening. And Earth is hanging and round and hanging. Also, Book of Job mentioned that. Being spoiled Westerner that we are, we would like to know what kinds of a resurrected heavenly body we are going to have. Don't you? I do. Do we have to keep, this sagging faces and the sagging bodies when we get to heaven? And do we have to work out every day to keep and be on diet when we get to heaven? Look at all the food and then you have to turn around? No more push-ups? That's good. So we don't, none of that. When it comes to resurrection of our bodies, it seems that there are more questions than the answers. The reason why we have more questions is because we are getting off the subject. The place we are going to, the portion of the scripture we are going to study will give us a general study. Not specified portion, but it will give us enough answers that we will be satisfied until when we have that resurrected body. Amen? Most of the question comes from the lack of knowledge about the resurrection. Because we cannot comprehend the supernatural and we try to cram supernatural things of God into the tiny brain that we have. I know some of you guys have high IQ. Average people's IQ is on something around 110 to 130. If you pass 130, and you're considered a genius. And we have this 3-pound putty inside of our brain between the 2 ears. And, but then my mother used to tell me, use it. Don't just hang the head on that. It is important for us to understand. We cannot try to comprehend what God has for us. It's like we trying, let me put this way, an ant trying to comprehend a complicated calculus. Does it work? No, it doesn't work. We have a finite intelligence in trying to understand infinite God. Bible clearly tells us there's something that's too lofty for us to understand. Whenever I have a problem that I don't understand the Bible, I put it this way. I write it down, I say, I'm wrong for not understanding. I just put it on the side. God answered me many of those things. Sometimes, right after I had that question, somebody speak to me. It's like, whoa, that was bad. Folks, we don't understand the resurrection and we don't understand a lot of supernatural things because we don't have a passage. Don't try to put God into the box. Our puny brain. The Apostle Paul addressed this issue in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 through 49, there where we're going to study. Answering two questions the believers at Corinth had raised. Although his replies don't give us specific answers, they do give us general principles about our future bodies and a deeper understanding of the value of our present one. Who said that verse 35? Let's pray first. Father, we see a lot of your glory in this world. We cannot even imagine. The song says, I can only imagine. No, I disagree with that person. I cannot even imagine what is life in heaven. Where there is no more death, no more night, no more fear, no more illness. Your glory outshines sun and moon star. We thank you for your loving kindness in Christ Jesus, and who died for us and rose again from the dead. So Father, bless be to you, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Father, we are asking you, explain to us about this heavenly body we are going to receive. Anoint our heart to receive your word through the Holy Spirit. Anoint the one who speaks. He has nothing but you to have of it. Let him only speak your word, not his own opinion. And you only get it. Father, we pray that President Trump and the leaders in this group, they may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they may do what is right in this. We are grateful that the federal government shutdown is over. And we pray for our troops, especially the one in the Huntsville. Another law enforcement personnel shot and killed by the protection of the city, with the hedge of protection, and comfort those who lost the families who lost their loved ones. We also pray for firefighters. We do their backup. We do their protective. That is in Jesus' name. Verse 35, please. But someone else will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Stop there, please. The loaded two questions are fired at the false direction. Without even a single twitch in his eyes, Apostle Paul responds to them. And his response is anything but subtle. You think I'm blunt? I don't call you guys a name, right? They can call them name. Fool. Sounds like a Mr. T, doesn't it?
You fool.
He's using nature to answer them. Listen. We cannot have a plant unless we have a seed. And the seed have to be buried in the ground and dead. In other words, corrupted. Have to be pretty much dead, right? Every time a seed sprouts life, nature testifies to the fact that life can come from the death. In the same way, you cannot be resurrected without a dying first. Death is not the enemy of eternal life. Rather, it is a channel. Are you with me on that? We are only going through death so we can have eternal life. Through death, God gives new life. I taught you guys this, and I went from the book of Revelation chapter 20. There are two types of resurrection. First type of resurrection is for the believers of Jesus Christ, following the footsteps of Jesus. Second resurrection is for the unbelievers. They will go through death and the resurrected, and so they can be end up in hell, in the lake of fire for eternity. Everyone will go through resurrection. No exception. Alright, let's go to the next portion. Now the Apostle Paul is explaining. Remember I told you he's using nature as a sermon illustration. Paul paints a three-word picture that illustrates what our future body will be like. First one we see in verse 37 and 38 is seed. 37. And what you sow, you do not sow that the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleased. And to each seed its own body, stop there, please. Although totally different from what it produced, seed represents the life and it will grow. When you plant the seed of wheat, you get wheat, not watermelon. There is a continuity of life shared between the seed and its fruit. And likewise, our heavenly bodies will be a continuation of life with which God seeded the earth soil. Listen, resurrection, listen carefully, please. Resurrection is not reconstruction. Nowhere does Bible teach that at the resurrection, God will put together the pieces and return us to the former body. Yes, there is a continuity because it is our body. But it's not an identity because it is not the same kind of body. Are you with me on that? Mm-hmm. Do you understand this? Same person, but not the same kind of body. Second sermon illustration he used is a flesh in verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of animal, another of fish, and another of bird. Stop there again. In creation, God has carefully marked each species with a distinction all its own. And we too will continue to bear some kind of mark of our present body, at least for the purpose of identity. One of the most frequent questions that I've been asked about the heaven, and the question is, will we be able to recognize our loved one who went to heaven before us? Have you heard that? Of course we have. This verse 39 is the answer. How can I be sure? According to John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20, when Jesus showed up after his resurrection, guess what? Jesus' disciple recognized him. Didn't they? Yes, they did. They knew it was the Lord. I don't know how, but we will be able to recognize our loved ones when we get there. However, there's one person we won't recognize right away. Do you know who that is? Moses. Moses. Because he's the one who has a flat face. In the Old Testament, whenever God spoke to him, he felt blood on his face. Right? Third demonstration, planets. Verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differ from another star in glory. Stop there. How many stars out there?
Millions.
Gazillion. Jerry, where are you? Oh, there you are. He works for the one of those fancy scope things that people look at at night. Or is that night only telescope?
Like? Yeah, we have the light side and dark side.
Okay. They don't have a better thing to do, so they look at the stars. Anyway, according to these scientists, they say they're still finding stars. An ever-expanding universe. They're finding more and more stars. And I happened to ask a young evolutionist, I asked that person, where the Big Bang coming from? And the answer was a little stunning. We don't start from where the Big Bang comes from. We start from after the Big Bang. You know, wow, that is a twist, messed up theory. You don't know where it started, but you're trying. Premise is completely wrong. You're trying to start from after that. Folks, listen up. God is true. And what he does is phenomenal. Planet. Our future body will be different, not only from our present one, but also from those of others. Interestingly, the Greek word, the celestial, probably I will butcher this name, pronunciation, Epronidas, and it means existing in heaven. And the Greek word of a terrestrial is epigeos, and it means existing on earth. You all heard ET, extraterrestrial. You going home, remember that? That means it's another planet people. Another planet people. Methodically, Paul gives four great comparisons between the earthly body and the heavenly body's difference. Verse 42 says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in natural body. It is raised in spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. First thing we see, the comparison and contrast is corruptible versus incorruptible. Long ago, I was watching the debate between the Christian scientist and U of A professor. Christian scientist was all over this U of A professor. In his desperation, the U of A professor asked the young lady who was in the audience, and he asked her, you are smarter than when you were a baby, are you not? And she was caught off guard, and she said, I guess, yes. And I was hoping that she would say another phrase behind it. Yes, I'm smarter than when I was a baby, but I'm decaying. Isn't that true? No matter how much money you have, and how famous you are, how many times we have done, you've done the nip and tuck surgery, cosmetic surgery, you cannot deny the age. Our body function go downhill ever since we come out of mother's womb. And born again Christians will have heavenly bodies, no longer decay like the ones we have now. If you were disabled on earth, and if you are in pain with the sickness, you won't be in heaven. And you will not have illness anymore. The Bible says that the resurrection body will resemble the resurrection body of Jesus Christ. 1 John 3, please. Keep your finger in the 1 Corinthians, go to 1 John 3. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Did you get that? We shall see him as he is. We will have the body that is like a resurrected body of Jesus Christ. What was the difference between the resurrected body of Jesus and the body that we put on the cross? When Jesus walked among us on earth, he was voluntarily exposed himself to the limitation of humanity. Just like any one of us, he got hungry, he got tired, and he was thirsty, and he was asleep. In his resurrected body, there was similarity to the old body, so that the disciple could understand and recognize him, but major difference too. He could do the things he never did in his old body, not because he was not God, he was 100% God. He suddenly appeared in the middle of the room without using the door, and we also know that he ascended through the air higher and higher, until he disappeared from the sight into the cloud, without any help of an airplane or hot air balloon. One of my bucket lists is doing skydiving, solo skydiving. And I thought, why do I want to come down when I can go up? Second contrast is dishonor and glory. As long as we live in this body, we sin against God due to our natural born sinful nature. But once we have a heavenly body, we will no longer have any of the sinful nature, which means no more sin. Our present bodies are not only perishable, they are dishonorable because of our sinful nature. But our future body will not only be imperishable, but glorious. Third comparison we see is weakness versus power. Weakness versus power. It doesn't matter how strong you are, you are still weak to compare with the bodies that we will receive when we get to heaven. With the heavenly bodies, we will no longer be ruled by the gravity or times or sickness, nor limited by our physical capability. In what capacity, I don't know. That's something you need to ask people when you get there. Natural versus spiritual is the fourth comparison. In our natural bodies, we are dominated by the desire of our natural man, desires we must constantly fight against. I love the way Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I should do. You know what I'm talking about, right? You feel the same way. The things you need to do, we know. Well, we should pray, we should read the Word of God, and we should do the right thing. And in our mind, we just do the things that is not right in the right side of God. But in our future, spiritual body will be dominated by the power of the Holy Spirit, and therefore live as Christ lived, in complete holiness and submission to the Father, just like me. I cannot wait to be like that, thank you. Verse 45, please. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became life-giving spirit. However, spiritual is not first, but natural. Afterward, the spiritual. The first Adam was of the earth, made of dust. And second Adam, and second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48. As was the man of dust, so also are those who made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, and we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. That's it. Paul wraps up his reply to the Corinthian questions with a quick comparison and contrast of Adam and Jesus Christ. Adam, first man, and Christ have at least two things in common. Their beginning were both unique and sinless. And what they accomplished was altogether different. Formed from the dust of the ground, Adam gave natural life and death through the damnation due to his disobedience to God, to the entire human race. In other words, you cannot say you are not a sinner. You are a sinner from birth. Period. You just add more sin unto yourself on that title, sinner, while you live. But conceived by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is able to give the spiritual life to all who believe. Go to Romans 8:2, please. One book before 1 Corinthians. Romans 8:2. There's a page number you can refer in if you're using our handout book, handout Bible. Verse 2 and chapter 2. Chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. The Bible, according to the Hebrews chapter 7, declared that Levi was in the loin of Abraham when he met Melchizedek. It is a certain truth that the believers was in the loin of Jesus Christ, our mediator, when in eternity covenant grace was made sure forever. This time go to Colossians, turn to right, past Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, chapter 2, verse 9. For in him dwells, you there yet? For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead for a bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hand, by putting off the body of the sin of the flesh, by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and circumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Whatever Christ has done, he has accomplished for the whole body of Jesus Christ. All of us. The born again Christian. We were crucified with him, we were buried with him, we were made, and most of all, we were risen with him, even ascending to heaven with him. And you say, well, we are still here. When we die, we will ascend with him to heaven. Adam's righteousness was ours, so long as he maintained it. But his sin was ours, and that his sin was ours the moment he committed it. And in the same way, all that the second Adam is and does is ours, as well as because he is our representative. Are you with me on that? Because he died for us and rose again, defeated death, we too can defeat that. Three applications. Number one, God designed your body for you, so accept it as it is for his glory. And you may say, I don't like this, I don't like it in my body. Get over it. You're going to have that until you go to heaven. You can make a requisition to God and so that he can correct it for you. That's between you and him. Second application. We plan the distinction between you and others, so don't compare yourself to anyone else. Playing the comparison game, whether it's a job, intelligence, look, gift, or wealth, is a no-win situation. It's a great way to have an ego or depression, maybe both at the same time. Be content with how he's made you, and be grateful that he loved you enough to choose you as his child. Please don't compare yourself to others. There's no winning situation, okay? Pastor Al and I are taking a trip. I have a great respect for the man who can listen to me and play. Listen. And while we were traveling to California, I was drawing something because I was asked to draw something.
I was not looking at anything. I was starting to draw the lighthouse and putting the shadow and the crashing wave onto the rock. And he was looking at me and said, you do all that out of nothing. Yeah, you can play music out of nothing. I can do it. This is my song. Third application. God predicted your body would have a certain limitation while we are here. So stop condemning yourself. Do we sin? Yes. Remember, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You ask God to forgive you for your sins. It's over. It's done. If you repent genuinely, it's over. Don't dwell on it. God convicts us, but He never condemns us. You would learn that. All right, let's stand up and pray.